One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai. Kosai.org.
Ah, you're here. Good.
A ghost couldn't dig a grave, make John strangle me to death.
Lights out, everybody.
Welcome to the Old Time Radio Cast, where we take the most terrifying tales from the golden age of radio, clean them up, and remaster them for your listening pleasure. Truly preserving the very best era of audio entertainment with stories of suspense, mystery, and horror. The minimalist approach of this week's featured show complements its creepy atmosphere, and in some cases, its lack of music and lower production value were the reasons that it ended up being even scarier than some of the bigger budget shows. This week we'll be visited by The Weird Circle, a very modest little show that ran for just two seasons, often consisting of classic horror stories from authors such as Poe and even Charles Dickens. For now, enjoy The Bride of Death, followed by Markheim in The Weird Circle.
See, we are met to call from out of the past stories, strange and weird. Bellkeeper, toll the bell, so that all may know we are gathered again in the Weird Circle.
Speak again the immortal tale, The Bride of Death. This is the story of death, of a fearful prophecy fulfilled, of a love that could lead only to madness. The first ingredient was death. The cold, sharp steel bite of a Scottish claymore. In a narrow street in a town near Donaghfert, an old, half-forgotten Highland feud had flared again. Death peers over the shoulders of three young clansmen as a force twice their number beats them back. Stop a moment and see which one he chooses.
Well, badly outnumbered, my lord. Don't let them force you out. Keep your back against the wall. Watch out for the bastard! Keep your sword up, Kenneth. We'll beat them off yet. The traitors cut out.
Stop! Oh, Kenneth! Kenneth, my lord, you're bleeding!
Ah. Death has chosen Kenneth, Earl of Dunbar, oldest son of the noble Scottish house. The shouted encouragement of his servant, Bruce, will not help him now. The tears of his younger brother, Douglas, come too late. Together, these two carry the wounded man into the home of the Domine. But the services of this holy man will not change the mind of death.
Come, my son. Let us leave the brothers alone. It's the least that we can do at this moment. You've been wounded in the service of your masters.
Oh, it's only a scratch, Domine. I'd have died for either of them.
Each man must do his own dying. Even Kenneth, Earl of Dunbar. I believe the younger brother called you Bruce. We shall have to tear your sleeve, Bruce, to dress your arm.
I can't believe it, sir. You don't know his lordship. He won't let himself die.
The clansmen who set upon you, were they from Black Donald's castle?
No, they'd be the last to attack us. That feud has long been over. Derek MacDonald's daughter, Lady Margaret, is to marry young Kenneth. We were on the way to the castle for the betrothal feast.
But the brothers have been away from Scotland most of their lives. The Earl of Dunbar and his bride-to-be can't have seen each other since they were children.
Yes, but it was all arranged by their families years ago. He was to meet his bride for the first time. Oh, you don't know how much he counts on this happiness, Dominic.
I think I do, Bruce. Did you hear the words he spoke to us before he lost consciousness?
You wouldn't find that strange if you knew Kenneth, sir. A man of iron will.
There was an uncanny look in his eyes as he said it. Living or dead, he said, he'd seek her out and have her for his own. Living or dead.
The death knell. He's...
Yes, Bruce. Your master is dead. The betrothal feast will never see its guest of honor. Why, my son, you're trembling.
Suddenly, Dominic, I'm afraid. You didn't know this man. I tell you, it'll take more than death to stop Kenneth, Earl of Dunbar.
Nevertheless, death was the first ingredient. It was in the mind of Lady Margaret as a girl that the fearful prophecy was planted. But even today, neither her father nor her Aunt Mary know it is there. But it was the second ingredient. It was fear.
No, Father. You can't make me do it. I will not marry the Earl of Dunbar. I'll never marry anyone.
Young Kenneth is not just anyone, Margaret.
Please try to understand, Davok. Margaret's high strung. She's been alone too much. And now this sudden plan of marriage to a man she's never seen.
But none of us have seen.
20 years ago, you and Kenneth Dunbar played together as children. His father, once the feud was over, became my best friend. We have followed closely his career on the continent.
A career of bloodshed and violence. A professional soldier. And now that he's returning to Scotland, you remember some absurd plan of the past to unite his clan and ours. You remember the Dunbar wealth.
Margaret, that's not fair to your father. All of us consider the Earl of Dunbar a fine match for you in many ways.
You've forgotten the stories of his fits of violence. His strange moods, his cruelty and overbearing willpower.
Gossip. Gossip in your overwrought imagination, Margaret. I have never intended to force you into this marriage.
Oh, Father, if you'd only...
I haven't finished, Margaret. I still don't intend to force you into it. The banquet this evening was arranged to, or shall I say, bring you young people together. Let it rest at that. But of one thing I am determined. If you reject the Earl of Dunbar, young Kenneth, you shall have no other husband while I live.
Thank you, Father. Thank you.
The guests have already begun to arrive. The guest of honor will be here before sundown. We both have duties to perform, Margaret.
Now that he's gone, come here and sit beside me.
I'm sorry I acted so silly, Aunt Mary. But if you only understood how I feel...
I think I do, dear. You're frightened.
I am. But not of young Kenneth Dunbar. It's Grandfather's prophecy, Aunt Mary, that frightens me.
Nonsense. Black Donald may have been eccentric, but he couldn't foretell the future, Margaret.
And then there was the story that he'd made a bargain with death for being rescued from this room. And a prophecy of some kind that no one ever knew about.
And it's this superstitious nonsense that's been frightening you, Margaret?
It isn't nonsense, Aunt Mary. You see, I found the prophecy. It says, the last born of Black Donald's clan shall be the bride of death.
Oh, you poor child. To have been living in the shadow of that fear. And all on account of that crazy old man. The bride of death. Oh, don't look like that, Margaret. I can't imagine anyone more alive than Kenneth. You could hardly call the Earl of Dunbar a spectre bridegroom.
I know, and yet, somehow I'm afraid. I'm terribly afraid.
There we have two ingredients. All we have to do is to mix them. Perhaps woven together in just the right pattern, they might create a dark tapestry of madness. Twilight has fallen over the wildness of the moors, and a soft wind moans through the trees in the garden back of the castle. Lady Margaret has slipped away from her guests.
Forgive me if I do not rise, Lady Margaret. I have traveled far to get here. I'm very tired.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was so silly. But it was rather startling. I hadn't seen anyone come into the garden.
I came through the little gate at the far end.
But we never used that. I mean, I didn't know anyone knew of it except myself. It's all overgrown and the moor beyond.
I remembered it from many years ago. My home once lay across the moor.
But then, why, of course. Oh, I should have seen the resemblance to your father. You're the Earl of Dunbar.
You're surprised, Margaret?
No. Somehow I knew you were my friend. But you're different in a way, Kenneth. Quieter, more gentle than I'd expected.
There is much that can change a man, Margaret. But you're just as I pictured you, dreamed of you through the years. Lovely, gracious, a warm heart to welcome me home at last.
Perhaps. Don't you think we'd better go in, Kenneth?
Oh, you're shivering, Margaret. Are you cold?
No, no, it isn't that, Kenneth. I just happened to think of something. Perhaps you remember my grandfather.
Black Don? What Highlander doesn't? That might be he coming down the path this moment.
That's my father, Kenneth. Sir Davick MacDonald. I'm afraid he's going to be angry at you for appearing like a ghost out of nowhere.
His anger cannot reach me, Margaret. I'm beyond all human emotion now. Except my love for you. To have found you at last, that's all that's left. I haven't time for words, but you feel it too. I know you do. Nothing can separate us, Margaret. Not even death.
Welcome to Black Donald Castle, my lord. I had almost given you up.
You see, Father, Kenneth slipped in by the back way. I happened to see him here.
I know, Margaret. Your servant told me I'd find you here, Kenneth. The man is strangely frightened.
Bruce has had a trying day, Sir Davick. We both have. I hope you'll excuse us early.
Nonsense, my boy. You'll spend the night here. Now come along. My guests are anxious to meet you. Your fame has preceded you to Cairn na Gaasha.
Even so, it has come too late.
What's the matter, Kenneth? You're not well.
You do look a trifle pale, my boy.
It's nothing, Sir Davick. A recent wound. I lost a lot of blood. Margaret, please stay near me. My time is short.
But time is not an ingredient, nor space. One evening may be an eternity, or it may only be a fraction of a fraction when love awaits the tolling of the midnight bell.
Oh, there you are, Davick. I've been looking for you. It's nearly midnight and the guests are expecting a toast to the Earl of Dunbar.
Mary, I don't understand that young man's behavior. All evening he's avoided me.
He's avoided everyone, Davick, except Margaret. I don't think his eyes have left her face all evening.
It's very strange. I have an uncanny feeling he means her harm. Mary, do you think I've made a mistake? My daughter and a man we know nothing of?
I've never seen Margaret look so happy, Davick, and this in spite of the fear she's carried.
Clan or no clan, I've a good mind to put a stop to the whole affair. I've been too hasty. A Highlander for a son, not a pale-faced imitation. No matter how noble his family. Let no one say MacDonald gave his daughter to be the bride of a bloodless ghost of a man.
The bride of death?
Oh, for heaven's sake, pull yourself together, woman. Our friends are staring at you.
Your daughter and the Earl of Dunbar, they're together in the courtyard now.
And what of that, Wallace?
His lordship has ordered his horse. He means to leave. And Sir Davick, he means to take Lady Margaret with him.
What? He avoids me like the plague, then seeks to take my daughter from me without so much as by your leave? Come, Wallace. Get my sword and bring your own as well. It seems the Donalds must once again teach the House of Dunbar its manners.
There he is, Sir Davick. Lady Margaret, too. The servant already mounted. Over there by the gate. See?
Is this the way the Earl of Dunbar repays the hospitality of the Donalds? To steal my daughter like a common thief?
But, Father, let me explain.
I'll brook no more interference of my wishes. Join your aunt and wait for me. And now, sir, what have you to say?
Only that I shall return and take your daughter with me.
My Black Donald, sir, that you'll never do. You and your henchmen shall know the anger of my clan from this day on.
The anger of the Donalds cannot reach me now, Sir Davick, nor any other human being. The
accept your daughter's love. Oh, I must go. Before the final stroke of midnight, I must leave this place.
And it is well you do, young man, if you value your life.
I place no value on that which I no longer have, Sir Davok. Go tomorrow to the great kirk in the town, and you shall understand my meaning.
You are mad. The same madness that claimed your father.
It is not madness that has claimed me, Sir Davok. It is death.
Ingredients have gone into our story but one. The fear in the mind of Lady Margaret is a result of Black Donald's prophecy that the last born of his line would be the bride of death. The fulfillment of this dire foreboding seemed close at hand when her promised bridegroom, Kenneth, Earl of Dunbar, was stabbed to death on the day of his betrothal feast. Had this been known to Margaret, his first appearance before her might have brought madness with it. Instead, it added the ingredient of love. But now Sir Davok MacDonald, Margaret's father, has added the most potent ingredient of all. His anger at his noble guest's behavior brought forth truth, always a dangerous ingredient. To Black Donald Castle, it has brought terror. And the dark suspicion that the spectre bridegroom will return to claim his bride.
Lady Mary, is there no change in her condition? She hardly looks alive.
No, Davok. None of your doctors have been able to rouse her. From midnight last and all through the day I've been by her side, here in her bedchamber, she hasn't moved or spoken.
The events of last night have affected her mind, Mary. I wish I'd never heard of the House of Dunbar. If this ghastly story is true...
If, Davok, in your mind you're as sure as I am that we entertained a ghost last night. Else why should Wallace have ridden to town for you this morning?
It's time he returned.
Deep in your heart you know the fear of all of us who love Margaret. I could see it in your eyes when you returned from the courtyard last night to blurt out that awful story before your guests.
It was a mistake, I admit it, Mary. But how was I to know that Margaret had discovered Black Donald's prophecy? How was I to know her horror of being the bride of death?
You should never have promised her to a man we hadn't seen. You knew the reputation of Kenneth Dunbar, a strange, wild Highlander with an iron will that has given him life even in death, and now his threat to take her with him.
Quiet, woman. Kenneth, Earl of Dunbar, shall go back to his grave without her. The Donalds fear no man, living or dead.
Sir Davok!
Wallace, come in quickly. What have you found?
But Lady Margaret, sir, I do not want to frighten her again.
She can neither see nor hear you, Wallace. But you do not need to speak. I can read the answer in your face. We heard the truth from the lips of a dead man last night.
It is true, Sir Davok. His lordship was killed while on his way to the castle. I could not even get near the kirk. Clansmen from the hills have poured into town to view his body as it lies in state.
Hush, Margaret. Don't be frightened. No harm shall come to you.
Watch over her well, Mary. It may be that she will awaken soon. I must decide what shall be done. Come, Wallace. We have much to think of.
Kenneth. Margaret, child. Try to hear me. This evil thing will never reach you. I shall watch over you. Try to forget your fears. Forget all about the Earl of Dunbar.
She has no fear of me, Lady Mary.
You... Oh, no. No, it can't be. How...
I came from the balcony, Lady Mary. Please do not be afraid. Don't move away.
No. No, you shan't have her. Never. I... Oh. Kenneth. You've come back for me.
Yes, Margaret. As I promised. But the time has not yet come. You are ill. We must wait a little while.
But you will come back for me?
Very soon, my darling. Through the fears of those about you, through the dark prophecies of the past, I'll come. You're not afraid?
My fear was only that you'd left me, Kenneth. There are no words that matter anymore. I only know that I love you, that you're unhappy, that you need me.
We shall be together soon. Come, sleep now, and know that from windswept moors outside your window, I shall be watching over you.
The ingredients of life do not always mix as you expect them to. The poison of fear can often be cleared away by the potency of love. But the clansmen of Lady Margaret had no such protection as they looked upon the powerful ingredient of truth. Within the great stone walls of Blackdonald Castle, the terror of the spectre bridegroom grew as the days went by. One night, as the wind lashed the rain across the moors and rattled the ancient casements in the great hall, Sir Davik paced uneasily before the fire.
In the name of heaven, Wallace, come away from that window. There's nothing to see. Warm yourself here by the fire.
It's a fearful night, Sir Davik. It's in my mind that the spectre bridegroom may be abroad again.
Watching won't keep him away. Nor guards either, for that matter. Did Lady Mary tell you that one of my men saw the black figure climbing down the vines beneath Margaret's window?
Aye, and that he vanished before his very eyes. It's common talk throughout the castle.
They think of nothing else, Wallace. I swear it's like living with people who have lost their minds.
It's Lady Margaret's health that concerns me, Sir Davik. She will not eat. She will talk to no one. She spends her days and half her nights watching from a window overlooking the garden.
You waste your breath telling me these things, Wallace. I know what's in your mind only too well. You think my daughter is mad, that she has come to think of herself as the bride of death.
I do, Sir Davik. As well as I love the Lady Margaret, I've seen the light in her eyes. It isn't fear, I swear. The lass is waiting for this dead man, this Earl of Dunbar, to return.
Wallace, you're one of my most faithful henchmen, but you're as bad as the rest. This talk is driving me daft. Go back to your window if you must, but hold your tongue.
Davik! Davik!
What is it, Mary? Is Margaret all right?
She's gone, Davik. Vanished. Her room is empty.
I thought I told you to lock her in at night.
A few minutes ago, she called for me and asked for a glass of water. I left the door unlocked to fetch it, and when I came back, she was no longer there. The spectre bridegroom has come for her.
Quiet, woman. She's not well. She may have wandered alone out into the storm. Wallace, call out the guard and have horses saddled for all. We'll search every crag, every inch of the moor, every road until my daughter is found. I'll have her back, though I feel the dead hands of Kenneth Dunbar at my throat. Hold, Wallace! Look yonder! You see that faint light glimmering through the rain?
It's from some house, Sir Davik. Come, the men have already turned off. We must hurry.
No, Wallace. That's no house. I wonder I didn't think of it before. It is there that we shall find Lady Margaret. I pray we're still in time.
I think we're in the neighborhood of Dunbar Castle, Sir Davik, but not near enough to see a light.
True. But we're close upon the ancient chapel of the family built centuries ago.
That gloomy place has been sealed as long as I can remember. No one has been near for years.
You're mistaken. Within the week, the place has been occupied. You forget that Kenneth, Earl of Dunbar, was buried there. Come, Wallace. Leave the horses, Wallace. Hurry. I see the chapel door stands ajar.
This is not to my liking, Sir Davik. If I could get them
there. There's no time for that, you fool. Quickly now.
Look. Up front, near the altar. Lady Margaret and the dead man.
And the dominie from the town clerk stands before them. His lips are moving. Perhaps he prays.
All the prayers in Scotland will not bring life to that bloodless youth.
We must stop this sacrilege. Follow close. Dominie, hold your blessing. You do not know the revolting blasphemy you commit.
You're too late, Father. We fear your anger no longer. There's nothing you can do to separate us now.
Margaret, if you think O'Donnell will stand by to see his daughter snatched from him by the hand of death...
MacDonald, please. In the name of the friendship you once bore my father...
There was no bargain that my daughter should be your...
But
your bride in death.
Sir Davik, the night of the feast I was suffering in mind and body. I could not speak the news I bore.
You lie.
At midnight, from your own bloodless lips, I heard...
Your unjust accusation drove me to it. Although I have loved Margaret from the beginning of memory, I was ready to say farewell.
Gentlemen, this is no place to fight with words or swords. If Sir Davok objects to this marriage...
Objects? Dominie, this man is dead. The Earl of Dunbar has sold his soul to the devil to come back from the grave.
Davok MacDonald, Earl of Dunbar, sleeps peacefully in the vault below us. His younger brother, Douglas, has just been joined in wedlock to your daughter.
What? Douglas? Douglas Dunbar.
I don't condone the false impression given you by the present Earl, nor do I condone the secret wooing of your daughter. But of his love, there is no doubt.
And I love him, Father. Even before I knew he wasn't Kenneth, I loved him. Nothing mattered. Even Black Donald's prophecy.
Douglas de la Motte. That title, given by the Normans to the second son of the House of Dunbar, has long been forgotten, Sir Davok. I ask your forgiveness for playing the role again.
I could not withhold it if I would. All this had to be, my son. Douglas de la Motte. Douglas of death. Margaret was foreordained by Black Donald himself to be your bride. The bride of death.
Sometimes the ingredients of life seem to brew a dark and terrible potion. And yet there's always one final ingredient that's always there. Call it what you will. Luck, chance, fate, it is always there.
From the time-worn pages of the past, we have heard another immortal tale in The Weird Circle. Bellkeeper, toll the bell. Be here in this lonely cave by the restless sea once again next time for another immortal tale in The Weird Circle.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Out of the past, phantoms of a world gone by speak again the immortal tale. Markheim.
You feel safe, don't you, Markheim? You feel safe and fat and secure, don't you, Markheim? Sitting all alone before the fireplace in your uncle's drawing room. Ah, but you're not alone, Markheim. I'm with you. With you all the time. Invert your eyes, Markheim, and look within you. Invert them if you can, and then perhaps you will see me. I love to watch you thus at rest, Markheim, safe and fat and secure, for then you are so much my servant.
Oh, the phone.
Stir, Markheim, stir.
Just when I was relaxing so nicely.
Answer it, Markheim. Answer it.
Oh, that instrument is a menace to the peace.
Arise, Markheim, and do answer the phone.
Confound it.
Get up, Markheim. Get up and answer that phone.
Hello?
Hello? Is Markheim there?
Speaking. Who's this?
Rogers.
Rogers? For heaven's sakes, man.
Hey, what's the matter?
I told you never to call me here. Suppose my uncle answered the phone.
Oh, listen, Markheim. I'm your broker, not your nursemaid.
Well, what do you want, man? Quickly. One of the servants may come back.
Your stock has dropped. I'll need money within the hour.
Stock? Rogers, look. Let's not talk about this over the phone. I'll come over right away.
You may not have time, Markheim.
Oh. How much will you need? I'll try to raise it at once.
6,000.
6,000? So much?
You knew the hazards when you bought on margin. If I don't have the money within the hour, you will have lost everything.
Within the hour?
Within the hour.
6,000.
6,000.
All right. All right. I'll try to raise it at once. 6,000. Within the hour? Where am I going to get it?
Come now, Markheim. There is a way, you know.
Where am I going to get it?
Let me help you, Markheim.
Where am I going to get $6,000?
Let me suggest something to you, Markheim. Look around the room.
Nothing in this room is worth $6,000.
The wall, Markheim. The wall.
A portrait of my uncle. Oh, I couldn't ask him, even if I could reach him within the hour. If he ever knew I was speculating.
Not the portrait, Markheim. Behind the portrait. Behind the portrait.
Wait a minute now. There is a possibility after all.
You're in deep already, Markheim. What have you to lose?
I'm in deep already. What have I to lose?
Stir, Markheim. Stir.
Still, maybe it would be better to lose all that stock and forget about it.
Move, Markheim. Move.
Oh, why do I get into such dilemmas?
Get up, Markheim. Get up and move.
Oh, what the devil. Now if I can only lift this picture off the wall. Help me. Oh, found it. Set it down. There. There it is. Ah, bet the old fella doesn't even guess that I know about this wall safe.
Put your fingers up to the dial, Markheim.
Or the combination, either.
Put your fingers up to the dial and twist it, Markheim.
Two to the right. All the way around and stop at 8. All the way around to the left. Past 8 and stop at 4. Ah, there it is.
Now put your hand into the safe.
Yes, there's the money. A small fortune, but I'll take just enough. 6,000 in wonderful paper money.
Draw out the money, Markheim.
I got it.
Quickly now, Markheim. Quickly. Close the door of the safe and put back the picture. That's the way, Markheim. Rush into the street and through the city.
Taxi! Taxi!
Quickly. Quickly. My taxi, swift and sure. Now into the broker's building, Markheim. Up to his office. Place the money in his hands.
Here's the 6,000, Rogers.
Oh, quick work, Markheim.
Now you may return to your uncle's home. But with leisure, Markheim. You may even walk if you wish. And you may cock your hat at a jaunty angle. For luck was with you this afternoon. And you may smile as you enter the drawing room once again.
Oh, hello, nephew.
Oh, uncle, I...
Did I surprise you, my boy?
Well, yes. You're home early, aren't you?
Yes, a little. Christmas Eve, you know. It's hard to get work on the afternoon before Christmas Eve. I thought I'd have my lunch at home and remain.
You're right, uncle. The afternoon before Christmas Eve is no time for business.
I'm glad we're of the same mind. Sit down. Sit down.
Yes, uncle.
This room is so comfortable. Oh, I hardly have time enough to enjoy it, though.
That's true, Uncle. It's a room to relax in. I love to come here and just sit.
And that's because the appointments are so carefully chosen. The furniture and the rugs and the hanging, they all complement each other. Even that silly old portrait of me.
Portrait?
Oh.
Oh, yes. That portrait of you. It's not so silly, Uncle. An excellent likeness of you.
Thank you for the compliment, nephew. But I dare say you're lying. Look at it.
I see nothing wrong with it.
Well, it's crooked. It's slightly off center.
Why, yes, it is. I'll fix it. Just a little push it. There it is. Is that all right?
Yes, that's fine. Fine, thank you. You know, that crooked portrait reminded me of something.
Huh? Do you care to tell me?
Oh, it's nothing important. It just reminded me to take the picture down one of these days.
Take it down? Why?
Well, nothing special. Just to dust it off a little, shall we say.
Perhaps I can help you. When are you going to take it down?
See. Not today. And tomorrow is Christmas. The next day, probably, and I won't need any help, my boy. No help at all.
As you wish, sir.
Now I think I shall be going upstairs. I have a few gifts I still want to wrap.
See you later, then.
Yeah. Oh, now, wait a moment. What was it I wanted to ask you about?
Ask me? I wouldn't know, Uncle.
Oh, never mind. It's probably not too important if it slipped my mind. I'll call you if I remember. I'll see you later, nephew.
Goodbye for now, sir. Good heavens. The day after tomorrow. The day after tomorrow.
The day after tomorrow, Markheim. And you know why he's going to take that portrait down.
He's sure to examine that safe carefully. What'll I do?
Replace the money, Markheim.
Where can I get $6,000? Where can I get so much money by tomorrow?
Think, Markheim. Think.
What on earth's the matter with me anyway? Each problem begets a new one. I wonder if there's any escape.
Think, Markheim. Think.
Oh, nephew.
Yes, Uncle?
It just occurred to me. I can't find my ruby stick pin. Have you borrowed it?
Why, no. I'd never borrow it without your permission.
No, I see. Then I guess I must have lost it. Well, never mind. I'll speak to my insurance broker.
I'm terribly sorry, sir. One thing after another. Now, where can I get $6,000 by tomorrow?
Think, Markheim. Think.
Where? Where? Where?
The ruby stick pin, Markheim. Doesn't that suggest something to you?
Now, who would have so much money?
The ruby stick pin, Markheim. Don't you remember? Don't you remember that afternoon? That afternoon you entered the dealer's shop on that side street downtown? That dirty little deserted side street? Don't you remember how quiet the place was? How all alone you both were?
Yes. Yeah. So you're back, young man.
I'm sure I'm welcome. You've made a tidy penny on me.
Yes. And you should expect I would profit well.
I think you profit much too well.
Some of my customers are ignorant, and then I touch a dividend on my superior knowledge. And some of them are...
Some of them? Yes.
Well, some of them are dishonest. In that case, I profit by my virtue.
Frankly, I need no preamble to our dealings. Let's get on.
Yes, indeed, let us get on. What have you brought me now? Another curio from your uncle's cabinet?
No, not from my uncle's cabinet. I brought you this.
Oh.
And it's genuine, let me assure you.
Your assurance promises me nothing.
But it is, I tell you.
Calm yourself. I trust my own eyes. It is genuine. Ruby stickpin. Very elegantly designed.
How much will you give me for it?
300.
Why, you fool, that's worth at least 1,000.
Does it matter whether I give you 300 or 3,000? You lose it anyway. I'd rather enrich myself than some stock speculator.
I'll not give it to you for 300.
It's you who needs the money, not I.
But 300?
I'll be generous. 400, shall we say.
Very well. Since I have no choice, I'll take the 400.
Good. Now you wait here. I'll go upstairs and fetch the money.
You remember that, don't you, Markheim? You remember his exasperating gait up those stairs? To the floor above, to the room above, to the place where he kept his money. How easy it would be.
I wonder if he has that much money up there now.
How can you doubt it?
$6,000 is a lot of money. Does he have it? Suppose he has. How could I get it? He never leaves his shop.
You know how, Markheim?
He'd be in the way. How could I get it?
You know how, Markheim. It would be so easy.
Oh, I think I'll think about it later. I'm going to the kitchen to talk to the cook a while. Get my mind off it.
Run away if you like, Markheim. You can't escape me. Go into the kitchen. I don't mind. I'm right with you, Markheim. I'm right with you.
Hello there, Mrs. Cleary.
What? Oh, you startled me, Master Markheim. I was buried in this newspaper and didn't hear you come in.
Say, what's so fascinating about that newspaper?
I have a little time before the oven heats up, so I thought I'd read about that new murder.
Murder?
Yes, terrible thing, Master Markheim. The murderer used a knife.
A knife?
I guess it must be easy to commit murder with a sharp knife. Some people would run a knife into a man's body as easily as I would into that goose I'm cooking.
I just came in for a piece of cake, Mrs. Cleary.
Cake? Oh, yes, over there. You've got to admit that sometimes it's easy to commit murder. Of course, the murderer might be caught, but it would be kind of easy, wouldn't you say? Especially with a sharp knife.
That's it, Markheim. A sharp knife. So easy. So easy. Is formulating in your mind, isn't it, Markheim?
It should be easy. $6,000 at the stroke of a knife.
But you won't carry it out, Markheim, while you sit in your uncle's drawing room.
If I only keep my nerve, if I don't break at the last moment.
You won't break, Markheim. I'll be with you.
Oh, Merry Christmas, Uncle.
Yeah.
What's the matter, sir?
Oh, yes.
I said... Merry Christmas.
It could be merrier, nephew. I wish you wouldn't spend your leisure time in my drawing room.
What? I won't if you don't want me to.
In fact, I forbid you to use this drawing room as your den. I forbid you to lounge here alone.
I'm sorry, Uncle. What have I done?
I don't care to discuss it now, nephew. It's Christmas Day. But I would like an hour with you tomorrow.
Of course. As much time as you wish.
No, I'd like you to leave me. I have some thinking to do.
I must have done something terrible. All right. I'll leave. I'll go at once.
He knows, Markheim.
I wonder if he's looked in his safe.
He knows, Markheim. You'll have to act swiftly now.
If he's going to speak to me tomorrow, I'll have to get that money. Today.
Here it is, Markheim. The dealer's house. Ring the bell. Don't hesitate, Markheim. Ring it.
I can't kill him.
Your uncle knows, Markheim. Ring the bell. Ring it. Again.
Why does he delay?
What is it you want?
Must you keep me out here in the cold?
I was talking on the telephone. Now, what do you want? I'm not buying anything today.
I haven't come to sell.
Have you come to wish me a Merry Christmas?
No. I've come to buy a Christmas present for a lady.
Why don't you go elsewhere?
All the other shops are closed. It was a sudden invitation to dinner, and I mustn't go empty-handed. You'll be doing me a great favor, and I'm willing to pay double.
Oh, well, come in. You're an old customer, after all. And I take it you're Fady.
Yes.
Well, far be it from me to stand in the...
Thank you, sir. I appreciate it.
Especially when you're willing to pay double. And have I got it? How do you like this mirror? 14th century, warranted. Comes from a good collection, too.
Mirror? Get it away from my face.
Why not a mirror?
Get it away from my face, I tell you. No. Not a mirror.
Perhaps you see in it a reminder of past sins and follies.
I don't like mirrors.
They say a mirror often yields a reflection of one's inner self.
Enough! Take it away, I tell you.
Very well, calm yourself. Perhaps this may suit you. This silver compact here on the shelf. I'll get it for you.
Now, Markheim. Now. While his back is turned. The knife, Markheim. Swing it with your whole arm. Swiftly. Swiftly. With your whole arm, Markheim.
There! I've killed him.
It is done, Markheim. It is well done.
I've killed him. I must get out of here.
Fool, where are you running?
I can't remain. They'll find me here. I'll hang. The front door. I must get out.
Stop. Do you want to destroy yourself? You cannot go out that door. Listen to what is happening on the other side of it. Listen.
Well, here's the place, Garrity.
All right, you go on in. I'll wait outside.
Now, don't be a grouch. This is Christmas Day, and we're both going to present this turkey to the old man.
He's the worst miser that ever lived. What does he know about Christmas?
That doesn't matter. You agreed to walk down here with me, and now don't go away. I'm going to knock on the door.
You see, there's no answer. Maybe he's not home.
He never leaves. I'll try again. Hello, hello in there. Are you coming out?
You're making enough noise to raise the dead.
Maybe he's asleep.
Oh, come on, let's go.
No, no, I think I'll wait a while. I expect he'll get up soon, walk over and open the door. You can go if you like.
Well, I guess I'll wait along with you.
Did you hear that, Markheim? He's going to wait for the old man to get up and open the door. Such a joke.
I must get out of here.
You know he can't get up, don't you, Markheim?
The back door. The yard. I must get out of here. I've killed him. They'll find me and I'll hang.
Stop running away, you fool. Are you going to forget your uncle and the safe behind his portrait?
The back door. To the yard.
Stop where you are. Don't you hear those voices in the alleyway? Listen. They're saying something that concerns you.
Let me see what you got for Christmas.
Oh, I got lots of things.
Any marbles?
Sure, Billy. A whole bag full. I got them in my pocket.
So did I. Want to play me?
Well, sure. Play you right now. Where do we play?
Well, I don't want to play in the gutter. How about the backyard?
His backyard?
Why not? Don't be scared of that old foggy. We'll keep on playing until the old man gets up and opens the door and hollers at us.
Okay, I'm game.
Did you hear that, Markheim? Till the old man opens the door and hollers at them.
I'm trapped in this house.
You know he can't get up, don't you, Markheim?
I'm trapped in this house.
Stop lashing yourself, Markheim. You have done well this afternoon, and a great deal more lies ahead. Now come along. Up the stairs. Higher. And higher. And higher still. Up the stairs to the landing. And through the door, Markheim. Through the door. And into this room. Here's where the old dealer keeps his money. Now look carefully. Remember, 6,000 to replace in your uncle's safe.
I must get that money. I must.
Of course you must.
It's safe up here. And quiet.
So quiet, Markheim, with the door closed.
Nothing to distract my search for the money. This desk. Not there.
Perhaps behind this mirror. This full-length mirror, Markheim.
It might. It might be behind that mirror. But I daren't look at it, except with the corner of my eye.
Why fear the mirror, Markheim? The money is right behind it. Now look at it.
I'll look behind the mirror as a last resort.
Look at it now, Markheim, with your full face.
No. No.
Look into the mirror, Markheim. Squarely into the mirror.
I should see my reflection. But I don't.
Of course not, Markheim. You see me instead.
Who are you?
I am your evil genius, Markheim.
You are the voice within my brain. You are the voice that has helped me to steal and helped me to murder. What do you want of me?
I have spent too long cultivating you as my tool, Markheim, to give you up easily. Once you trembled at the thought of theft, But I rid you of that fear. And this afternoon you reach the crisis. Murder.
Let me alone. Please. I beg of you. Let me alone. What's that? A footstep. Someone's coming up those stairs.
Hide, Markheim. Hide.
It's the dealer. It can be no one else. The dead man's coming up those stairs. If only I knew how to pray. The door. How can I hide from a dead man? Good heavens. Uncle.
Well, nephew. I expected to find you here.
Uncle, how'd you know? How'd you know?
The ruby stick pin. Yesterday evening it was missing, and I thought you had borrowed it. I went into your room to look for it and found this on your dresser instead.
The dealer's card.
Exactly. When you denied borrowing the stick pin, I telephoned him. He remembered the pin. But it was no shock, my boy. I've never really trusted you.
I have nothing to say, Uncle.
And later that evening, I examined my safe behind the portrait. $6,000 were missing.
Then, when you spoke to me this morning, when you forbade me to stay in your drawing room alone, you knew.
Yes, I knew. And when you left the house this afternoon, I knew you were trying to find money to replace what you took from the safe. Where could you go for money? But to some dealer.
I see.
So I telephoned him and asked him to call me. That is, in case you should arrive. And he agreed and left the side door open.
Then that's why he kept me waiting outside. He was talking to you.
That's how it worked out. I hurried down here with a policeman. The worst I had expected was that you'd be arrested for theft.
And now it's for murder.
Yes, and he's waiting for you downstairs. My nephew. Shall we go?
Yes. Yes, I'll go with you. I'll go. But please, just one more moment to my...
I warn you, nephew, you cannot escape.
I don't intend to, Uncle.
Put that vase down. What are you doing?
I'm going to smash that mirror.
Wait, Markheim. Do not destroy me. I can help you get away.
Your power is gone. You can't stop me from doing this. Now I don't care about the scaffold, nor what lies beyond it. I've broken the mirror, and in the time that remains, I shall have peace.
From the time-worn pages of the past, we have brought you the story, Markheim. Bellkeeper, toll the bell.
This has been a Cryptic County podcast. To listen to our original storytelling podcasts and for all things suspense, horror, and weird, check out crypticcountypodcasts.com, where you'll find shows like Let's Not Meet, a true horror podcast, and Odd Trails, a true paranormal podcast. We'll see you next time. Stay safe.
You know what ought to happen next? If this was a horror story... That's what ought to happen next.
It did.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.